We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Today is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Can we clap for that? Happy Mother's Day. All the mothers of Redemption Church, we love you. Thank you so much for being with us on this day. I am a first-time dad. My son is 2 years old, and for the last 2 years, I have gotten a front-row seat to the workings of mother. I've had a front-row seat before, but I didn't quite remember to take notes on it. But now I see it, and I'm trying to be the counterpart, the father, and I'm like clueless, so I'm looking to mom. When I married Sarah, I knew she would be a good wife. I knew that about her, but it never even dawned on me to think, will she be a good mom? Let me tell you, she is the best mom. I'm so blessed to have her as the mother of our family. Do you feel that way about your mom, your wives? Absolutely. So Sarah, one thing that she's been doing as mom is she has been trying to help our son, Will, know how to respond to people. All right? Biting is an improper response. Throwing things at them, not positive, all right? But also, not just how he acts, but what he says to someone. And he's gotten really good at a few of them, thanks to Sarah. She's like, hi, and he's like, hi. We're walking through a store. Everybody we pass, he says, hi, and somebody wasn't paying attention. They suddenly go, oh, look, a baby, and then he goes, bye, and then they fall over dead with cuteness attack. She's like, oh, my gosh. Here's another one, hungry. He says it like, hungry, hungry, hungry. He wants to eat. There's night-night. That's dad's personal favorite. I want to go night-night. Once I had to wake Will up in the middle of the night and go like an extraordinary like circumstance. Had to meet someone like at 5 a.m. in the morning. And so I woke him up at 5 a.m. in the morning and turn on the light, and he was all asleep. And he just kind of woke up, and he went, and he just muttered nonsense. He was like, it's night-night time. It's like, how dare you wake me up? There's one thing that we're trying to get him to learn. We've got most of those other things kind of taken care of. But there's one thing we have a real hard time with. And it's thank you. Thank you. He says it like this. Taught you. And usually how it works is this. I'm holding this. He's the baby. And he's like, I'm holding this. I don't want to hold it anymore. I hold it out towards you. And I say, taught you. And that means I have to take it from him. Do this for me is what he thinks thank you means. And that's not what thank you means. So I've heard Sarah say this. And probably your mother has said this a time or two. Someone does something for you. And you hear your mother say, now what do you say? Right. And the kid goes, thank you. Right? For some reason, the kid gets this special toy, and maybe they're just so excited about it they've forgotten to respond. Or maybe it's maybe not something they're very thankful for that they've gotten. And the mom's like, better say, what do you say? And they're like, thank you. All right? Maybe they're just predisposed, too busy. But I want to talk to you today about mom's lesson of thank you. I believe the world has forgotten mom's lesson of thank you. Shame on you, world. What do you say? You say thank you. Saying thank you is more than showing good manners. I've got three simple points today with three simple stories. Can you handle that? Will you stay with me? Thank you. Saying thank you is more than showing good manners. Number one, saying thank you is spiritual. Thank you is spiritual. Psalms chapter 100, 4-5. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. All right, this starts with give thanks. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. If you are looking for God in this life, you want to find God, or maybe you've known where God is, but you want to get closer to where God is, I want to suggest that you become thankful. But because saying thank you will take you right through his gates. And guess what? You will never get through those gates without a thankful heart. It's impossible to enter his presence without going through the gates of thanksgiving. Yeah. And let me tell you, verse 5 here, it tells us that we've got something to be thankful for. For the Lord is good. How many knows that the Lord is good? His mercy, his love endures forever. His faithfulness, it continues through what? All generations. I want you to think about that. We're talking about the faithfulness that God showed to Adam, the faithfulness that God showed to Abraham, the faithfulness that God showed to Moses, to David, the faithfulness that he showed to us is the exact same. It continues today. It's not even a new faithfulness. It's the same one. He's never meandered off course. He's never said, okay, forget them. And then he came back later and he started over again. No, it is that same faithfulness. It is that same promise that he made with Abraham that we have today. God is good and you ought to be thankful for that. Yeah. God, I'm thankful that you've included me in that covenant. I really have a lot to be thankful for. Here's story number one. We got Luke 10. We've got 10 lepers. Everyone say 10 lepers.
10 lepers.
And we got one Savior. Everybody say one Savior.
One Savior.
All right, leprosy. Let me talk to you about leprosy. Leprosy was a disease. It was a terrible disease, and it messed with your cells so bad that your body just started to rot. It started to decompose, kind of. And it was a really gross, terrible disease, and people would lose ears. People would lose nose, and they would have terrible scars. That was leprosy. But and that's usually what we think of when we think of leprosy. But we usually don't think of this. Leprosy is more than a disease. It's a real condition that affected every area of their life. Leprosy equaled rejection in society. Leprosy equaled, if you have leprosy, you have to leave everyone you know that doesn't have leprosy, or else they'll get leprosy. Leprosy means no more family. Leprosy means not living in the city. Leprosy means no more friends. Leprosy means that you are cast out. And in fact, if you ever were to go into a place where there's a group of people, you had to announce your coming in by saying, unclean, unclean, sorry, I'm here and I've got a terrible disease. Look away, I'm hideous. That is what they lived with, and that's heavy, and that's bad. We have 10 of these lepers. It's not surprising that they'd be together, because who else are they going to hang out with? Well, they look over across the way and they see the one Savior, Jesus Christ. And they shout out to Jesus. They say, Jesus, have mercy on us. Heal us. And Jesus, being the perfect, awesome Savior that he is, he says, all right, you're cleansed. Go show yourself to the priest. Okay, let me explain. They had to show, it wasn't enough to be healed. They needed to go show themselves to the priest, have him check them out, and then he would do a cleansing ritual on them, and they would be able to return back to everything they had lost. They'd be able to go back to their family. They'd go back into the city. They could leave the leprosy colony and return. They could go back to the temple of God and worship. This was a huge moment for them. What do they do? What do you say? They didn't say thank you. They are all 10 of them running off. They're like, oh my gosh, Jesus did it. We're going to go show the priest. And they're running. And while they're running, one of them, everybody say one leper.
One leper.
starts to notice, you know what? I am cleansed. For some reason, he could feel it. He knew it. He sensed that he was cleansed, that this disease was no longer going to affect his life. And he stops, and they all continue running. And he goes, I'm going to go back to Jesus, and I'm going to thank him. And he runs back to Jesus, and he throws himself at his feet, and he just starts thanking the Lord. And Jesus says, what does he say? He says, where are the other nine? Were they not cleansed also? And that question wasn't just for that leper on the ground, because he didn't have an answer for it. That question really, that's for us. Where are the other nine? I got to tell you, there have been times in my life I've been the other nine. Have you ever been the other nine where God has done something for you, but you didn't return? I want to be like the one that returned. Guess what returning did? Returning brought him back to the feet of Jesus. Here's what's really cool and often overlooked. He tells him to go show themselves to the priest. This other one returns to Jesus. And who is he? He is our high priest. He is our mediator between man and God. He actually did show himself to the priest. And something really special happened for this one guy. It didn't happen for the other nine. Jesus looks down at him and he says, your faith has cleansed you, and now you are made well. And when you look that up in the Greek, when you look it up in the Greek, it means that you are whole, that you are complete. And it doesn't make a big deal out of it. The story ends right there. But I just want to explain to you what that means, to be whole and complete. It means that as he was down there at his feet, he became just like he had never had leprosy. Just like he had never had that disease affect his body. There was no residual scarring left. If he had lost any part of his body to that cursed disease, it was brought back to him. He was made whole. Now the others that went on, the nine, they were cleansed and they were very thankful for it. But you know what? They still had those scars. They still had a history. Every time they walked into a room, people went, oh, do you have leprosy? And they're like, no, it's gone. Jesus healed it, but I still look like I do. But this guy, this one guy, he could go totally back into his life like it never, ever happened. Have you ever experienced something like that in Jesus? Let me tell you, if you haven't experienced that, you need to be thankful, find your place at his feet, and he will make you whole. The Bible says that we are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. That is Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So being thankful is spiritual. Something very spiritual happened in his life. Being thankful is also a command. This is number two. Say this, being thankful is a command.
Being thankful is a command.
1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always, say always.
Always.
Pray continually, say continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, say all. For this is the will of for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When do you give thanks? When do you rejoice? All right. When do you pray?
Continually.
All right. This is a command that in every circumstance you're in, you're to be thankful and you're to rejoice and you're to pray. And this isn't as easy as it is to live out as it is to say. All right. Would you agree with that? Say amen. All right, brings me to my second story. It's the story of King Herod. Oh, and it's a real gross one. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Get ready. King Herod in Acts chapter 12. It's just a very short piece of that chapter. I recommend that you read it. King Herod, he is a king, but not really. He was king over this area of Israel, but he wasn't their king. He was Caesar's king that he put into place to rule over them. In fact, he wasn't from the lineage of Jacob. He was from the lineage of Esau. He was an Edomite. And so, guess what? If you know anything about that story, the blessing was that Esau would never rule over Jacob, and somehow he was in this situation, and everybody, every Israelite went, oh, that Herod, don't like him. He doesn't like us. He would do anything to save himself from Caesar. He would kill us all if Caesar asked him. He wasn't liked, but he is a political power in that land, and you better believe he wants you to think he's king. Verse 21 of Acts chapter 12. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. I told you, Happy Mother's Day, isn't it? It's kind of gross. While he is talking, he is destroyed from the inside out. Worms just eat him alive. I'm thinking of like Indiana Jones, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, where they melt to death, but it's even grosser than that. It's grosser than really anything Hollywood could come up with. Just right there he is in his royal robes, worms all over the place. Gross. Why did this happen? Why did this happen? Well, they said, this is the voice of a god. And he didn't stop them. He actually took pride in that. He did not give thanks in that moment to the true God. He did not give thanks in that moment to the real God that's been merciful to him and allowed him. No. And he was eaten out from the inside out. Unthankful pride will destroy you just the same way. If you are prideful, it's going to eat you alive from the inside out. And it'll be just as gross, and you'll be just as big of a shell, and you won't even know it hit you. You're just going to be gone. There's nothing regal about that. Unthankfulness can take you to some dark places, the Bible tells us. Romans chapter 1. Let me just give you a heads up. Romans chapter 1 is no joke. Romans chapter 1 gets serious. It talks about the depths of sin that humanity can fall. That humanity can fall so deep into sin when they turn away from God. And I don't want to go over that list because it's just sickening. Some of the things that humanity can fall into. Check it out if you want. It's Romans chapter 1. But when we look at that chapter where it starts talking about the downfall of humanity, we back up a little bit and we find the source for this downfall. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Check it out. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. What started it all? You know, sometimes we have weird thoughts about sin and the depths of sin. We think, oh, we probably made a deal with the devil to be rich. I've never known that to happen. It's not in the Bible that I know of. Okay. We think, oh, well, they probably, you know, did something really bad, like they killed 50 people. You know, no, the Bible just says they knew God, but they didn't glorify him as God. Neither were they thankful. They were not thankful. Who wants to avoid the pitfalls of being a human? Not enough. Raise those hands. Come on, let me help you out. Who wants to avoid these terrible things in your life? Let me tell you, glorify God and be thankful. It's not that hard. It's actually, I don't know how people end up in that place. It's a terrible place. But they got there. The first steps they took were they didn't glorify God and they weren't thankful. Remember 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you are sitting in this house right now and you're wanting to find the will of God for your life, and you're like, I don't know exactly what to do with my life. I don't know where to go. And that could be anywhere in life. Like you're thinking about certain relationships and you go, God, is this your will? You're thinking about a job change. You're thinking about school. You're thinking about anything in the future. God, what's your will for it? And we get asked this question a lot in ministry. And if you ask me this question, I'm going to give you this answer right here. Are you thanking God? Because that, if you are thanking God, if you're rejoicing always and praying always and giving thanks in every circumstance, you have found the will of God. You are right in the middle of the will of God. Do you believe that, Redemption Church?
Yeah. Amen.
Let me tell you, we do three things when we come here. Everybody worships. You have a chance to walk in this place, give thanks to God, rejoice in the Lord. You have a chance to pray in this house. And if you do that every time you come here, you're going to be right there in the middle of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
His will for your life will be done if you do that.
Yeah.
All right? But how do I do that? How do I really give thanks in every circumstance? Maybe you were thinking that in the back of your head, like, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. It's fair enough. I don't know what everyone's going through. I don't. You might be wondering, is that even possible? I've got someone that I care about in the hospital. How am I supposed to be thankful about that? I'm losing my job. How am I supposed to be thankful? I don't have enough money. How am I supposed to be thankful about that? Things that I cared about are over. You want me to be thankful about that? Well, forget you. Well, now y'all are all mad at me. I'm just kidding. Give me one moment. I'll talk to you about it. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 9. We talked about this scripture at Connect Group a few weeks ago, and I tell you, it just like hit me right between the eyes. It like just preached the world to me about how I need to change some things in my life. Here it is. Better is the sight of the eyes, this is from the Amplified Bible, the enjoyment of what is available to one than the cravings of wandering desire. This is also vanity, emptiness, falsity, and futility, and a striving after the wind and feeding on it. Just going to take some time. I want you to understand this verse. Better is the sight of the eyes. Better is what you can see in front of you and to enjoy it. Everybody say enjoy.
Enjoy.
Do you know that God wants you to enjoy your life? Let me just stop you. That is news to some people. They're especially religious people. I've known many religious people that thought, no, you can't enjoy your life. God, he wants you to be downcast and unhappy. He wants you to be woe is me all the time and tearful at the drop of a hat. That's what God wants for your life. Wrong. God wants you to enjoy what you have. He wants you to enjoy what's available to you. And it is always better to do that than to just have this wandering desire. And man, does that speak to our culture today? Would you agree with Chris Fluid here that this world has a wandering desire? Oh, we want to see that on TV. That would be great. Oh, that's over. We want to see this. Oh, we want to see the royal wedding. Oh, we want to see this thing happen. Oh, show us this. Oh, we want a new car. That would be great. Oh, but what we really want was we want new phones. And just after another, just wandering with this desire. And people do that with their relationships too. They just go one night stand after one night stand after one night stand. You know what that is? That's wandering desire. They just keep going after it. Let me tell you, there's some people that go to church after church after church, and they are no better. They've never tied themselves down in one place and just enjoyed the ministry that's available to them. That's wrong too.
Yeah.
Better better is the sight of the eyes, the enjoyment of what is available to one. I just want you to take one moment. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to just take a quick account. God, am I enjoying what is available to me right now? Am I enjoying what you have given me? Am I rejoicing in today, right here in this moment? You can look up now. I've got one final story, and I can't tell it near as good as they can. I want you to check out a family that enjoyed what was available to them.
Dear Elliot, right now you are 2 months from being born. We just found out that you have trisomy 18, also called Edwards syndrome. Doctors tell us that you won't likely make it to birth. Your mom and I are praying against that. We're praying for healing. We are praying for nothing less than a miracle. You're our first child, and the day of your birth couldn't come sooner. Dear Elliot, you were born today weighing in at 6 pounds. You are already a miracle to us. Your mom is doing well, and it looks like we'll be hanging out here at the hospital a little longer. Dear Elliot, today you turned 11 days old. We are so proud of you. Today we celebrated your 11th birthday. In fact, we do that every day at 4:59, the time you were born. Dear Elliot, we've been home for a week now, so that's why you don't see your nurses anymore. It's great to have you home. Today I think we'll pack up everything and take our first venture out for coffee. Dear Elliot, I don't know if you've noticed, but you're connected to some tubes. The doctors say we have to keep these in so you can get oxygen to breathe. You are also fed through a feeding tube. We feed you every 3 hours and it takes an hour and a half to do it. We've loved learning how to best take care of you. We love it. Lots of people email, call, and send cards on your behalf. You're well loved. It's 11 at night right now and my feeding shift has just begun. Mom is asleep and the best part of my day has begun. My shift ends around 4:45 a.m. when your mom takes over. She cherishes her mornings with her boy. Today you turn 1 month old. I didn't know if I'd ever get to say that. To top off the day, 20 friends showed up at the door for a true surprise birthday party for you. They sang, brought balloons, and a birthday cake. It was beautiful chaos. At 2 a.m. this morning, your feeding tube came out. We had been warned this may happen eventually. We quickly realized we did not have a stethoscope, which was necessary to replace the tube. Since our neighbor was a nurse, I went ahead and knocked on their door at 2:30 a.m. They found their stethoscope, and your mom went to it. After much wrestling, praying, and your tears, the tube was down, and you were able to feed. Just so you know, your mom is my hero. Dear Elliot, you now weigh 7 pounds 3 ounces. You're growing, and your food has been bumped up because of your good appetite. You continue to find new ways to steal our hearts. Dear Elliot, today marks 2 months of your life. Your mom and I are so thankful we know you. We know your face, your noises. We know that bath time and massage are your favorite daily activity. You finally learned how to suck your thumb by yourself. Because of trisomy 18, you were born with clenched fists, and being able to do this is actually quite difficult. Way to go, son. Dear Elliot, we celebrate your birthday every day with a picture. Lately, we've tried to get a bit more creative. Dear Elliot, I realize you can get frustrated with your tubes and your frequent congestion. Please know that your mom and I are doing everything we can to make you comfortable. Dear Elliot, well, you tipped the scales today at 8 pounds, 14 ounces. Quite an accomplishment. You also have managed to grow a pretty decent mullet. Dear Elliot, we all got to go to a reunion at the hospital. I've never seen your mom more happy. The joy she felt getting to show off her son can't be described with words. In fact, she compared it to the way a mother would feel when her son becomes president, or wins a Heisman, or develops a cure for cancer. The logic of medicine says you shouldn't be alive, but you are. You are such a fighter. Dear Elliot, you have now passed the 3-month mark. You also got your first cordless pictures taken today. No feeding tube, oxygen, or stickers. This was no small accomplishment, but we got it done. Have I told you lately that we are so proud of you? Dear Elliot, today you went to be with Jesus. An underdeveloped lung, a heart with a hole in it, and DNA that placed faulty information into each and every cell of your body could not stop God from revealing himself through a child who never uttered a word. Not a pulpit, not a slick presentation, not a best-selling book, but a six-pound boy with trisomy 18. God found great pleasure to take a lowly thing in the eyes of the world and show truth. At your funeral, we released 99 balloons, each balloon representing a day of your life. How beautiful it was to watch. How quickly they were gone. And so today, we celebrate. Elliot, you are well. And although we miss you more than we can express, we're only separated from you by our time left on Earth. See you soon, son, Mom and Dad.
They celebrated every day at 4:59. He had a birthday every day. And at the end of Elliot's life, they gathered all those days as though they were balloons and released them upward back to the Father in heaven. Only by living out thanksgiving, only by living out thankfully, every day did they truly fulfill their time with their son. Would you agree with that? This convicts my heart so much as a father, because there are moments in my life I am not celebrating. I am not enjoying fatherhood. It's hard to enjoy it in those moments where he's screaming at me, this little two-year-old. Maybe there's something in your life that you aren't enjoying. You haven't taken the time to just simply say, thank you for this moment. It's not perfect. It's broken. It's not everything I would want it to be. But it's mine and it's what I have. Psalm chapter 118, verse 24 says this. This is the day the Lord has made. Can you just stop at that sentence for just a moment? This is the day. We're talking about the craftsman of all craftsmen who spoke this world into existence. He spoke you. The Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He has spoken out every part of you, every molecule, all the DNA that makes you you. He has created the beauty and splendor of this world. That same God that you celebrate so openly for those things, he has made this day. And we forget that, don't we? What is our response to that? What do you say, as Mama says? Well, that's that verse says, we will rejoice and be glad in it. We say thank you back to the Lord. Amen. Could you say thank you back to the Lord today? These altars are already open. We do three things. That third thing needs to happen right now. And you can come even as I speak, that we come and talk to God. You've been blessed. What do you say? You've got a family around you that loves you. What are you going to say today? You've been healed and you've been saved. You have this moment. What are you going to say? Are you going to enjoy what's in front of you? Are you going to keep wandering after things that are away from you? A selfish desire. I just want to encourage you to rejoice and be thankful and enjoy this moment as we pray in this altar.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.